Welcome to Business Smarts Radio with Tom and Dr. Dave, the clean approach to building your successful business. Now, let's introduce Tom Borg and Dr. Dave Miles.
Welcome to Business Smarts Radio with Tom and Dr. Dave, where we bring you the clean approach to building your successful business. And by clean, we are not talking about spick and span and dust mops. This podcast is all about the acronym CLEAN, all about communication, leadership, engagement,
and no drama.
And no drama, absolutely. So today we're going to be doing part two of a six-part series that we're calling the three I's of emotional intelligence, or the three I's of EQ. And those three I's are identify, illustrate, and implement. It's great to know about it, but how can you put it to best use in your life and your organization? So in the series, we're going to talk about five components of emotional intelligence, and then we're going to discuss two better ways to visualize kind of how you can use EQ, and also three action items on how to go about implementing that in your organization or in your life. So last time we talked about self-awareness, which is really the root of all of it. If you are not aware of where you're triggered or how your emotions go, there's nothing you can do about it if you're not aware of it. You can't fix it if you don't know about it. So with that, it goes into the next part is self-regulation. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So Tom, what were your thoughts on last week's one on self-awareness and how that kind of rolls into the self-regulation? And tell us exactly what we mean by self-regulation.
Well, last week when we talked about self-awareness, that's looking inwardly and just being aware of your emotional capacity, what you're just being in touch with yourself, your own feelings. Now, when you start to look at self-regulation, that's how we now are going to regulate those impulses, those emotional thoughts, those emotional feelings that we have. So by being aware, I think that's really where we're going with this. That's really what self is all about, you know, self-awareness, self-regulation. It has to start someplace. It starts between our two ears. So the idea is to be aware. And from that point, we can do something with our emotional skill sets.
Yes, that is why. And we'll talk about this. There's a couple of books that we're going to talk about throughout this series. Obviously, Daniel Goleman's seminal work on emotional intelligence is great to dig into. He's got some follow-up books. But also, I really, really like Dr. Marshall Goldsmith's book on triggers, because this is where this part of it comes into play. If you're not aware of it, you don't know what happens. But when you're aware of it, the idea of the book Triggers was the fact that when you are aware enough to figure out where you're triggered or where your issues are, once you identify it, that gives you cognitively that split second difference between what happens and my reaction, what happens and my reaction. And so if you just automatically react, then just what it is. But if you have that split second of time in between there, Marshall Goldsmith talks about, then you can actually, your prefrontal cortex can actually do something about it. Your higher function cognitive abilities can say, no, I'm not going to I'm not going to do this. I can decide how I'm going to react.
Yes. And another way of looking at that is a simple way to look at it. We don't know that we don't know. So if we don't know that we don't know, we're left out. But once we become aware of the fact that, okay, I've got something to do, I have a way to respond. And my first impulse might be to respond the old way, which would be very reactionary and would probably cause more harm than good. So that's where we're really helping people get a maturity level of how to handle their emotions. So that's where we're going with the awareness and self-regulation.
Yes. And one of the things that I'm glad that you mentioned that part, because when you talk about emotional intelligence and EQ and assessment and stuff like that, one of the things that it strikes me is of all the assessment tools that we have that are appropriate for hiring, that are EEOC compliant, that are bias-free and no disparate impact on any particular group, one of the things that they don't recommend for hiring, because it doesn't necessarily meet muster, is this particular one right here. Let's talk about EQ, because there is a difference with maturity. There is a difference with experience. There is a difference with age. And you have somebody who is in their 50s or 60s that's had a lot more experiences and realized, you know what? When I was rash and I put my foot in my mouth or I said stupid things, and in the middle, well, that's just how I feel. you know, I'm just being myself. Mm-hmm. They realize, that didn't turn out so well. And so mm-hmm. that maturity level tempers. And I think you'll see an increase. Well, you see an increase across the board in the data that with age, you start to have some just general increases in emotional intelligence. So that is the one assessment that I just, as soon as you said maturity, just rang to my head that, you know, we don't necessarily recommend, we don't necessarily use for hiring purposes because it does make a difference, you know, in age. Age does have an effect on it, where in a lot of the stuff that we use, it doesn't have any effect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But no, what else? We talked about the actual, the definition of self-regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the way I look at it, I mean, we have emotions and I mean, sometimes, I mean, things can happen and it's very easy to be reactionary.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, being able to take in and have that split second where you can suspend judgment and think before acting and choose your response,
mm-hmm.
at least temper down. I mean, even the choices, I don't want to act this way, but it's such a habit. Maybe it's, I would have really blown up, but now I just kind of make a smile or a comment. You know, I'm still doing the action, but maybe it's less severe. I'm kind of dialing that back. It doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. have to be a complete and total personality change in one set. It's just not going to happen then.
But Dave, I think can happen oftentimes is we actually have an internal conversation going on with ourself. And that thought process you're referring to, I know with myself, there are certain times the first thought that pops in my head in a way I should respond to somebody, I'm thinking, I think to myself, now that's not very emotionally mature. I have to tune that down and say, wait a minute, now what's a better way to respond in this situation? And that's where our emotional maturity starts to really has an effect on that outcome of that conversation or that situation. So I think that's where we're going with this. When we can realize that, okay, we have this conversation going on within our brain and we have a choice. Now, it's not where we're just someone pushed a button and we react, but they've pushed a button and we're going to think through it. We're going to have an option or two of how we choose to respond. And that's going to have a dramatic impact on the results of that relationship or that conversation or that meeting that you're part of or that you're leading.
Absolutely. Is it going to get better by what you say? Is it going to get worse?
That's right.
You know,
right.
Well, what am I doing to improve the situation versus what am I doing just to be reactionary to, you know, self-gratification for the time? You know, I get that instant hit of, all right, that's right, I told them off. But mm-hmm. did that really do you any good in the long run?
And we see this happen all the time. Principal of a company, business owner, manager, they're running a meeting. People very often are not going to challenge that person. So whatever that person says has a direct impact on those people that are in that meeting. And if you're not communicating in a way that's emotionally mature, you're going to have a less than optimum effect on those people. And as a result, they're not going to be able to perform their jobs very well if they can't trust you enough to communicate back to you in a way that's going to create the kind of situation where there's true communication that's going back and forth.
If you're, like I said, you're running a business, if you really think about it with your division, your team, your whatever, you know, kind of to the old adage, you know, one of us isn't as good as all of us. And when you're really trying to think of ideas and different ways of doing things or ways to improve or how can we do this better, when you look at yourself as a leader, it doesn't matter. I mean, Goldsmith talked about in one of his books about generals and admirals. You know, when they talk, it's an order. When they give a suggestion, it's an order. When they just say, hey, what do you think about? It's an order. So it always comes across as an order. So when you're in a meeting, it's just say, hey, this is what I think. What do you guys think about it? Well, you've already laid the groundwork of what you think. So that's one of them. You automatically give your reaction because that's what you're used to doing. Uh-huh. And then how does that set the tone for other people? Like, okay, we already know. He's already put his cards on the table. So we don't want to stray too far away from that. And then if you do get something that's maybe contrarian to what you were thinking and you react poorly to it, they're like, hey, I'm not doing that again. I need this job. I'm not going to. So what's going to happen? You're going to stifle innovation, you're going to stifle creativity, and basically you're going to get a whole bunch of people like, yeah, yep, whatever you say, boss, we're good. Yep.
And cool. We've seen good examples of that on a national level, global level, where large companies, they had a leader who just was emotionally immature and more of a do it my way or the highway. And it led to catastrophe for that company. So,
yeah, I mean, it's easy to, you talk about the phenomenon of groupthink, and it's easy to get into that perspective when you have somebody that's not as open to that, or they don't even realize because they're not self-aware, they don't self-regulate, they don't realize how they come across sometimes. And that's the sad part, because they think they're being good, but they don't even realize how they come across, but they set that stage to lower the creativity, lower the engagement, lower the reactions from everybody else. Like, cool, I'm going to go in a meeting, I'm going to check the box, I'm going to do my thing and get my check and keep going. And that really hurts the productivity and the creativity and the growth of your organization. And in the long run, your engagement and a lot of times your turnover.
That's right. Dave, in the book by Daniel Goleman on working with emotional intelligence, he points out that companies that have leaders in place with high emotional maturity, high emotional intelligence, are more profitable than companies that are led by individuals who do not have a high emotional intelligence. So it's, they have statistics that back this up. It is good for the bottom line.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the one thing that's been very difficult sometimes to quantify. And that's why a lot of the scientific research is very helpful. Intuitively, you know, this stuff is good, but if you don't have the hard numbers to back it up, hey, this is not soft, you know, woo-woo kind of like feel-good stuff, kumbaya around the campfire. There's real, it's just like employee engagement and productivity stats. I mean, there's real data behind the more engaged your workforce is, the more productive they are, and then, of course, the more profitable you are. So, I mean, that's a big one. So what are some examples and some things we can look at as far as self-regulation? And what do you think the listeners... something that would be good for them as well. So just a couple of examples. I mean, I have one, but I wanted to kind of get some examples from your end of it.
Sure. So self-regulation, leader in a leadership position, running a meeting, has a new promotion that they're going to be rolling out. They're looking for feedback from their team. When the first person that throws up their hand and says, well, have you thought about this? And it starts to make this great promotion look like maybe it's not a good time, or maybe it's not the best way to do it. If that, at that point in time, if that leader doesn't open up and with a receptiveness to, hey, all things are possible in this meeting, this may not be the best time for this promotion, this may not be the right promotion, that's where that emotional intelligence becomes so important. So that would be one example where that, how do they handle that? Do they get defensive? Do they make that person feel like they're wrong for asking that question? That's one way that we can do a self-check on where our emotional intelligence is when we're running that type of a meeting.
Gotcha. Well, one example I think that is good to kind of get an idea of where it's not necessarily directly, but I think indirectly is in business is, for example, if you look at just for sports, I mean, specifically golf, if golf isn't the one major sport where you have to have a high level of self-awareness and self-regulation.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where, because it's not a reactionary sport. Okay, well, somebody kicked the ball this way, I got to jump, you know, mechanically, kind of the way the ball is going. You hit a bad shot, and you've seen some people that have just lost their ever-loving mind on a golf course, break a club or throw a club, or they get mad and screaming and cussing. But you think about it in the professional end of it. You hit a bad shot. You know, you're in your own head. I mean, really. I mean, you know, you've got the crowds over there. You got your caddy that's there. But really, when it's, you know, you addressing the ball and you're getting ready to hit, I mean, it's on you to kind of – you know, tamp down those negative emotions and negative thoughts, because we talk about here is 4.5 hours to play around, but it's a little bit over 5 minutes that they're actually addressing and hitting the ball within those 4.5 hours. And there's a lot of what's going through your mind with that. I mean, and you had to be able to regulate the emotions. But if you take that same example and turn over to the workplace, you got a bad decision or something, and you're not in you're facing a tough decision, you're not in a good, positive emotional state. A lot of times, if you're really negative, that your brain will just attract negative memories and past experiences. Or you're not good enough? Did this before? You know, oh, you screwed that one up. Why do you think you're gonna get this one? And all that self doubt is just gonna, you know, spiral down. And it's, which I mean, the way the brain is set up and the amygdala is designed to do that. You know, a lot of the folks talk about an amygdala hijack. I mean, that's, you know, that self-protective part of the brain, like, hey, don't do this. I mean, this is, you know, this could potentially be harm or bad.
Sure.
But, you know, I think the last episode we talked about the negative impacts of, or the lasting impacts of a negative experience.
Mm-hmm.
So with the lasting impacts of a negative experience, say you get cut off in traffic and almost run off the road, you're screaming, cussing, telling the person he's number one in your world. And you get, you know, that can last several hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they've for up to 4 hours. So if you have two really bad negative experiences in a day, one before you get to work and one maybe a few hours in, that can kill your productivity almost for the whole day.
Not only your productivity, Dave, everyone you come in contact with, right?
Yes.
People always say when the boss comes in the morning, an old saying, if he's in a good mood or a bad mood, it's all downhill from there. So the fact is, if you got a bad attitude as soon as you walk into the office, or you've had an encounter with somebody where your attitude is off, you can expect that the next several experiences or relationships or contacts you have with other people are going to be affected by that. Now, whether it's a client you're going to be talking to, or whether it's another direct report, or maybe it's your own spouse at home or significant other, that's going to have an effect on that. So again, can we get back to this emotional intelligence? What are we doing? It's also an opportunity to become better than we are at that moment. If we really process the emotions in our brain the way we're capable of, and we're going to talk about some ways to help people do that. Go ahead.
And you're right. It's one of those things where whether you're good mood or bad mood, you come in a bad mood, everything just kind of goes downhill. If you come in a good mood, you know, all of a sudden now it can be contagious. I mean, you have positive experiences. You start to, you know, it talks about giving us confidence by releasing dopamine, you know, which is counter to the cortisol, which is kind of the fear hormone. And it really, you know, there's a lot of scientific backing to it. It's one of those things that we really, if we can come in a positive manner, and even if it's not exactly your norm, your natural, you just start to, okay, I need to start being more positive. I need to start
doing
this more, because it's easy. It feels good. It's quick to react on how we're used to reacting.
But
it's not beneficial.
It's not the way to run a business. Not the best way to run a business by a long shot.
Nope, not the best way to run a team, not the best way to deal with people. It's just not. So, I mean, I thought about getting into, there's a couple of things that we could talk about with social regulation with self-regulation. As far as we had a few questions that we wanted to leave leave our listeners with. Because like I said, you talk about it comes into play, you know, anytime that there's changes that occur in our professional lives or personal lives, I mean, we have to, you know, if we fail to regulate our emotions, it's really, really difficult to stay focused. It's hard to stay on task. You know, and if you're obviously you're not aware of them, you can't regulate them. But when you are, you have to kind of make that conscious decision. Sure. But I wanted to leave a couple of questions.
Yes.
For everybody when we were talking about if you allow your emotions to run amok, you get really demotivated. But here's some things to ask yourself if something comes up, and just reflect in general on self-regulation. How do you react to either positive emotional stimuli or negative emotional stimuli? Mm-hmm. How do you typically react?
Yeah. And be honest with yourself.
Yeah. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it, do you react quickly? Do you ponder a little bit? Mm-hmm. And different behavioral styles would tend to react a little bit different. Some behavioral styles, you're very contemplative, very high S. They may want to sit there and think about it a second before they react. Some of a high I or high D, you know, very outgoing, you know, very direct type person might be that. Boom, 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 they react right away.
Mm-hmm. Great. Dave, another thought to keep in mind too is we can ask ourselves these questions. And if we're really brave, let's ask the people that report to us or our colleagues, how do you see me responding in these situations? Just ask for some honest feedback with the understanding that it's going to help you be a better person.
Yes, because sometimes you're not even aware of how you react. Well, I don't do that. Well, yeah, everyone's like, yes, you do. Mm-hmm. I'm not like that. Well, yes, you are. Because you're not even aware of it, because it's such an automatic reaction. You're not even conscious of it anymore.
Yes.
So another question is, how long does it take you to calm down after something good happens? And how long does it take you to calm down after something bad happens? Because we can get just as distracted, just as much off purpose when something good happens and we're bouncing around and everything, we just had a big win, but are we able to stay on task and stay on focus? And same thing with something bad. How long does it take for us to calm down after that happens? One of the best examples I've ever heard of from a structural corporate type of viewpoint is I remember listening to Mark Cole from the John Maxwell Company. He's the CEO of all of John Maxwell's companies. And I loved hearing them talk about the 24-hour rule. And it might have been 48, but I believe it was a 24-hour rule. Mm-hmm. That major win, major loss, doesn't matter. They win a huge contract, they do this, they do that. Major win, yes, let's stop the bus, we'll celebrate, 24 hours, we're high-fiving, whatever. Next day, nose to the ground, we're back to work.
That's right.
We lost a team member, you know, they left, they quit or whatever. We had something that went bad, stinging defeat.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours, just acknowledge it, stop, mourn the loss, whatever.
And then
get back to task and move on, because it's easy to fall in that trap of something good.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're awesome. We're great. We just did this wonderful thing. But you ride that and then you become complacent and you never continue to improve. So good in a sneaky kind of way can be almost as harmful as the bad, or you can start dwelling on the bad and just really go down a poor road. But I like that kind of 24-hour.
Sure. And Dave, I should bring up to you there, to our listeners here, and to acknowledge it. You bring up a great point, and not ignore it. I've been part of organizations where when someone was asked to leave the company, there was no discussion about that person after they left at the next meeting. It was like the white elephant in the room. Where's Joe? We all know he got fired, but how about processing it a little bit? The president would just move on, act like it never happened. That's not what you want to do.
And maybe the wrong analogy, but the way I look at it is it helps them kind of mourn the loss. Even if everyone's like, Joe needed to go. Or maybe it might be one of those things that, whew, what took you so long to get rid of Joe? My God, a weight's lifted off our shoulders. Why did it take you so long? And you're kind of like, you're thinking, oh my God, I had to fire Joe. It was awful, blah, blah, blah. Then you get there and you're like, we're mad at you because you didn't do this 6 months ago. It's just a big way. So mourn the loss or acknowledge it. Hey, this is a good thing and be able to go on. But yes, the acknowledgement's a big one.
That's right.
Okay. So I had two more questions. One, when change occurs, how does it make you feel? Is change easy for you? Is change hard for you? And a lot of that goes back to behavioral styles. You know, what's a natural propensity? Not what you've developed over the years for skills on how you've been able to adapt and overcome that. Just kind of natural baseline tendencies, behavioral styles. I mean, change, is it good? Is it easy? Is it not? And then the last one, if you were able to control your emotions more effectively, just think that, okay, well, I got the self-regulation down. I got the self-awareness down. I'm good, right? I'm on it. How would it impact your decision-making ability? And that's the one thing I wanted to, kind of the last question I wanted to leave as a business owner is, if you were able to control your emotions much more effectively, how would that impact your decision-making ability?
Wow. Powerful question.
Yeah. Just something to think about. I mean, it's a lot to it. I would recommend, finding out, where are you at in all these? Self-regulation, self-awareness, where are you at with your levels of emotional intelligence? Where can you work on? Start looking at these questions, start asking some of them, just reflect on it a little bit, figure out how much better could my team be? Could my decision-making ability be? Could our organization be, if not just myself, but my leaders around me had much higher levels of, and we all kind of were working in that realm of trying to improve our emotional intelligence. And so the one thing is we talked about these pieces being in sequential order. So obviously you have to have self-awareness before you can self-regulate.
Mm-hmm.
And self-regulation leads to improved motivation. And we're going to talk about motivation in our next one. That is one for the assessment tool that we use. That is one specific item that was inserted. And there's reasons, but that was one of the things that's a little bit different than Goleman's model out of the book, where he had four different ones. This one adds a little bit different twist, but it still goes, I like how it goes in a kind of a sequential order. So self-regulation leads to improved motivation. And that's what we're going to talk about for our next episode of this series. So what final words or thoughts or ideas you want to leave the listener about self-regulation?
Well, I think the main thing is that to be aware of it and know that they you have control over it, but it's a process, and it's a skill that we all need to develop.
Yes, absolutely. So with that, thank you all for watching Business Smarts Radio with Tom and Dr. Dave, and we will see you in the next episode where we're talking about motivation. Take care.